Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Quint Studer's here. Quint's a longtime Brain Trust member. 15 years he's been hanging out with us. Founder of Pensacola-based Studer Community Institute, a nonprofit research-based entity that's helping communities and business organizations get out of their own way and build a community for the 21st century that they where they can thrive and be the best that they can be in the 21st century. I've witnessed this, folks. I've seen it. I've seen what he does. I've seen how he does it. It's pretty darn impressive, and I don't know anybody who does it better. He's the author of Building a Vibrant Community, and he also knows a lot about small business, and that's one of the reasons why we'd like to have him on the show. Quint, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you've done all these years.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey Quint, I remember the first time I found out about you, and you were just your dream of getting Pensacola turned around, and you and your fellow leaders down there, it was kind of a gleam in your eye, and I was down there last year at your invitation, and just seeing what you've done in the last 15 years. To me, ought to be a movie that every community in the area should watch. But I want to focus on what you've done for the small businesses down there and how you think about how to build a vibrant small business community. You've really helped the small business community thrive in Pensacola, and I know you've done this in other places. How has this happened? How have you made that happen?
Well, I think what I learned, and I learned this myself in my own career, you know, I was working in a hospital in Chicago thinking that I, you know, knew stuff, had college and had masters and, you know, had bosses. And my boss at the time, Mark Clement, said, you know, we're going to train all our leaders. And I thought, well, that's good. I thought he meant, you know, other leaders, not me, because I thought I was trained already. And, you know, I was like a senior vice president. And so he brought in a fellow named Clay Sherman, and Clay, brought him in for every 90 days for 2 days, and we started bringing everybody in supervision out and how to run meetings better, how to do process improvement, how to figure out cost of goods, how to hire better, and just how to provide better service and just all sorts of things. And I saw the impact it had on managers. So when I came to be president of Baptist Hospital in Pensacola, one of the things I really negotiated was for them to understand that we're going to really focus in on training, even if it hurts the finances for a small time, put money into training, and it worked very well. So when I started Studer Group, we would not work with a client unless they commit to training. And then when I sold Studer Group and started working in the community, I found out the needs there were even greater than, let's say, a big organization. So we really got into it. It's in my book. I was spending time on this Harvard Business School's curriculum committee is, what are the skills that somebody needs to run a company? And how do you consistently give that? So, you know, we do, I think, 22, now up to 22 different sessions for small businesses very inexpensively in our community. And, in fact, I have one this Friday that I'm doing for about 120 people. And so you've seen it. We get real serious. We do that. We also do roundtables, bringing people together in roundtables. And then we do this conference in November called AntraCon, which we bring about 450 small businesses. So it's really the secret sauce of growing a community. It's not worrying about paying big incentives to attract somebody that's not in your town to your town. It's growing the jobs you currently have and growing the companies that are currently there and helping some start.
Well, exactly. This training thing has been the single biggest deficit of discipline in small businesses. As you know, we teach our people how to, you know, we line them up there and teach them how to sell our products, what our products do, how to do the pricing, how to do our pricing strategy, we get delivery and selection down, and we teach them a little bit about the industry, but that's usually where it stops. And if you're going to have a business with people who are going to help you grow it, they've got to be multidisciplined in terms of their training, don't they? They got to learn how to be better managers, how to be leaders, not just managers, but leaders. Everyone does, don't you think?
Well, the smaller you are, it's sort of ironic, but the smaller your company is, the better your leadership has to be. The smaller your company is, the more damage a problem employee can have.
That's right.
What I find with small businesses, they fall in the trap of thinking, I'll do that when I get bigger. You know, when I get bigger, then I'll do that. Or, see, when I have the money, then I'll put in training. Well, you'll never have the money if you don't put on training. You'll never get bigger if you don't have the skill. And I wrote a column here. I write a weekly column in the Pensacola News Journal. And 2 weeks ago, I wrote a column on, we had it happen here, local government. You know, they run into trouble. So the first thing they do is cut training. And then they cut training of, you know, firefighters and police and EMS workers. And we wonder why we have problems. And that's the habit. We just don't invest here in the training and development. I think there's reasons. I think many small businesses say, I just don't have time. Many say, I don't have the money. Many might say, I don't need it. Or maybe they tried it and didn't work. So I think that's the secret sauce of growing a small – you know, we get a lot of attention for buildings that have been built or things like that. But I think the secret sauce of Pensacola success is the training. And when I travel the country, I think what happens is chambers – get in the habit of thinking they're doing training because they bring a speaker in once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not connected to, okay, what are the 10 or 11 skills that every leader needs, and how do we make sure they get it?
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing is, Quint, 30 years ago, a small business could sort of be forgiven for not going real deep on training because they couldn't afford to send their people off to programs. They couldn't afford the expense of the travel plus the person being missing while they were in the training. But today with the internet, there's no excuse for not getting training, is there?
Now, there's no excuse. And the other thing I find is, don't make it, you know, we have found over the years that we have found some really good talent locally. And I think every city has it. There is somebody in your community that really knows how to train or mm-hmm. how to hire. There's some in your community that's got expertise in almost every area that we identified at Harvard that people need. And when you go to these people and ask them, would you mind teaching a class on, teaching class on
right.
selection and onboarding?
They'll do it. Hey, Quint, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Right back, Quint Studer, more on this after the break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.